homesick for God. That's what I want to talk about today, homesick for God. A former ABC-er, Kelby Grovender, went on a several-week vacation that included a lot of car travel. And in order to keep to the schedule, they had some days where there were long travel days that didn't allow for many stops. One of those days was a Sunday. And Kelby recounts how, as they're moving through the state, he noticed a church and wished that they could stop just for an hour to join those worshipers there. And that Sunday morning, every church they passed, Kelby would look wistfully at, just longing to stop, even if it was briefly. That account has always struck me. Nowadays, of course, it's different. We can be at church through the power of technology anytime that fits our schedule. And I love that. I can't tell you how much I love that. A couple of Sundays ago, I was in the hospital. My computer was ready at 11 o'clock to join you all. And I praised and I listened and I rejoiced and prayed with all of you. And I was so thankful to be able to do that. And yet there was this longing, this tug on my heart to be in the house of the Lord. Have you ever felt that tug? Have you ever felt that longing? Maybe not even knowing what your heart was longing for. Our psalmist sure has. Today we are reading in Psalm 84. This is a traveling psalm. There were certain feast days in the year where Jerusalem would swell with a population that included a lot of pilgrims coming, journeying from far and wide to celebrate a feast at the temple. There were three such feasts per year. And this psalm is a walking psalm, reflecting on the experience of those pilgrims as they traveled from afar. And now they have come within the view of the temple. This psalm celebrates that. And I'm going to ask you today to help bring this psalm into this space here, into our hearts even. There will be three beatitudes in this psalm. The word happy is going to occur three times in this psalm. And happy means blessed. It's a beatitude. Happy means blessed. So what I'm asking of you is, every time I read the word happy from scripture, you call out loud and say blessed to remind us that that's what that word means, okay? So if I say happy are the merciful, I said happy. Yes, and if I say happy are the peace, okay, all right. So now you know the assignment. All right, so we're in Psalm 84. Verse 1 and 2, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. It sounds familiar. We just sang this entire psalm, so you get it in song and in spoken word. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Now, it would be hard to overstate this longing. It is not just a desire to be physically present in the sanctuary. It's a longing to experience nothing less than the presence of God Almighty. One rabbi translated this verse as, "My soul almost left my body because of its great yearning." The point is that the soul yearns more than is the normal. Another commentary says, the psalmist is consumed with longing. Every fiber in their being has positively cried out for this path leading to the face of God. So there is profound praise and unspeakable joy upon standing on the threshold of the divine palace. Upon coming to the temple, the whole being of the psalmist's heart, flesh, soul cry out in joyful song. And it tells us that there is joy in worship. There is joy in finding the presence of God, and that joy cannot be contained, but must burst out in praise and song. Verse 3, even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Our rabbi tells us that the swallow is a name of a singing bird which does not sing when it's not free. And I love the visual of these little birds finding safety and security in God's sanctuary. And the mention of them fits in with a long Old Testament theme that runs throughout the Old Testament and even the New, that God loves all of his creation and his creation loves him back. So we read about the mountains skipping like lambs and the trees clapping and the rocks shouting and the birds singing in praise of God. And notice as we continue in this psalm, the parallel track of humanity along with all of the rest of creation joining together in their celebration of the Lord. So in this verse, just visualize the congregation singing and the little birds are providing the descant up above. Verse 4, happy are those who... Okay. It's about like about on a C minus level. But some of you pulled it out and saved the rest of the congregation. Happy are those, good, who live in your house, ever singing your praise. Here is our first beatitude. The psalmist must have been reflecting on the priests whose job required their presence in the temple. And the pilgrim is so happy to be there at the threshold of the temple that surely the people who work there must be very happy and... Now, this verse is a challenge to me because I work at church. And do ABC church workers go around singing at their work? Well, there are the sounds of the tuba coming from Pastor George's office when we're preparing a brass special music. And we do have an ABC worker who does indeed go around doing their work singing God's praise. You know who that is? Maria. And if she's downstairs and everybody else is upstairs, or if she thinks she's alone in the building, she will sing all the way through her work. I've caught her singing many a time, and it's beautiful to hear. Now, Maria is our cleaner. And if you know me at all, you know that cleaning does not make me want to sing. Cleaning makes me grumpy. But Maria has told me many times that she cleans for the Lord. And as she does so, she praises him. And she's a wonderful example to us all. When she sings, she herself is blessed in her inner being, and she blesses those around her too. So what the psalmist is saying is that the product of worship, the effect of worshiping, of being a worshiper, is that you yourself are happy. Okay, getting better. Okay, verse 5 says, happy are those... Oh, now you're in the A minus range. That's really good. Whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. We are blessed when our strength comes from God, when our hearts are always traveling towards God. Verse 6, as they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. No one quite knows what the Valley of Baca is. It isn't a physical place. Many people think that word is similar to the word for tears, which is buki, has the same consonants. So it's a valley of tears. And others have connected Baca to a shrub that grows only in a dry, waterless region. So it's a valley of drought or even a valley of death. So we understand that the pilgrimage isn't all smooth sailing. That the journey to experience God involves struggle and suffering. And this is a place which we know quite well. This is a place we sometimes get stuck in when hardships come. This is our own wilderness experience. And in fact, the preceding 11 Psalms, starting with Psalm 73, are one cry after another to God to rescue us, to save us, to help us. They express the sorrow and the pain of a strained relationship between us and God, between God and his people. There's been little movement. God seems so distant. Psalm 73, I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Has injustice ever stuck in your craw? Where is God when injustice flourishes? Oh God, Psalm 74, why do you cast us off forever? Psalm 77, I cry aloud to God that he may hear me. My hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforting. That's the valley. Psalm 79, how long, O Lord, will you be angry forever? Psalm 83, O God, do not keep silence. Do not hold your peace or be still. These are heart-rending cries from the journey, cries from the valley of Baca, from the desert. Have you ever prayed and God didn't answer seemingly at all? Have you ever hung on by the fingertips far longer than you thought possible? Have you ever asked God why? Have you ever struggled to reconcile your spirit, to submit your spirit to God's timing, to God's ways? It is the experience of every pilgrim to spend some time in the Valley of Tears. But then after those 11 long psalms, Psalm 84 bursts on the scene. The impasse is over. The people are singing and traveling and celebrate God's presence. It's a movement that creates an anticipation and a feeling that something special is about to happen. So while there's acknowledgement of the pain in this middle section of this psalm, nothing about verses 5-7 is sad. Our psalm assures us we're not going to stay in the valley forever. The desert doesn't stay the desert. God brings transformation such that the footsteps in the arid land fill up with pools of spring water. And green shoots begin to appear. This is such a powerful metaphor because all we can do is leave a dusty footprint behind. But God can make a pool even out of that imprint. And in fact, the consonants of the word pool are identical to the consonants in the word blessings. The transformational power of God brings forth the water of life, brings forth strength upon strength. Look at God. Verse 5, happy are those, down to a B plus, happy are those whose strength, okay, now you're back up, whose strength is in you. Our second beatitude is found in this middle section, and an acknowledgement that our own strength will not be enough, but we are blessed indeed when we discover that God's strength empowers us, and to such a degree that we will go from strength to strength, our psalm says. How can we go from strength to strength? Surely the more you walk, the more tired you become. Except that's not quite true. If you walk in the way day after day, consistently, your strength increases from one day to the other, so that we're stronger walking after several days. And someone else pointed out that longing for God is the energy that gives us wings until we appear before the face of God. It's a metaphor of intimate closeness with God. Those whose hearts are filled with the longing for the living God bear within themselves a life force that is utterly inexhaustible and tireless, strength to strength. This is the experience of all lovers. Of course, the experience of lovers. When you are in love, no matter how long your working day has been, no matter how tiring, when that time clock is punched and you are finally free, for sure you experience a fresh jolt of energy at the thought of spending time with your loved one. Love energizes. Okay, let's finish out the psalm, verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord of my God than live in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone. Let me try that again. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you. Our final beatitude. For those who seek God, for those who walk in his way, for those who walk uprightly, no good thing does God withhold. Isn't that beautiful? And this is not a way of playing God so that he rewards us with good things. No good thing, God, where's my new car? That's not what it's talking about. Happiness is not a superficial emotion. But as we take refuge in God, that's where our blessing comes from. Of course we're happy when we trust our amazing great God. Our psalmist has been making the case that we come to the sanctuary to seek the presence of God, and that what we do in this sacred space, our actions here, are ways of experiencing God's real presence and finding our true home. For Christians, the church is where we seek God together. Here we worship, here we learn, here we immerse ourselves in God's word, here we come regularly to the center of any home, which is the table, the Lord's table, where we eat and drink with Christ and with one another. At the Lord's table, we receive strength that we did not have in our own power. Someone put it this way: we come to church to profess that our lives are not our own, but are lived under God's claim. To profess that insofar as we are powerful people, our strength does not derive from ourselves, but from God. That our worthiness, insofar as we have any, derives not from what we accomplish, but what God bestows. That happiness is not, that happiness is not the ceaseless pursuit of material well-being that our culture promotes, but rather the entrusting of our lives and our futures to God. Every visit to church is a pilgrimage to experience God's presence. And therefore, our destination, let's be clear about where we're headed, our destination daily and eternally lies in God, God who transforms, God who saves. Now, over Easter, I watched a TikTok of a man who was really tearing into the Christian celebration of Easter, and I guess we are easy to make fun of. But the part that stuck with me, the part that made me saddest, was when he said that the reward that Christians look forward to was spending eternity with a God who demands, praise me, love me, worship me, And that our heaven was one long, endless church service, and that it sounded like torture to him. And it made me sad when I realized he had no idea who God was or what a relationship with God is actually like. He caricatured God as a narcissist. He took a way that we humans have twisted love, and then he put it back on God. He made something beautiful into something dysfunctional. And God's word cannot be more clear that God's unconditional love stretched God to sacrifice for us, not the other way around. Any praise we give to God comes from a sense of gratitude. And of course, we're going to praise him, knowing where we came from. And of course, we're going to thank him for abundant eternal life, that life like we have not lived before. And of course, it's not going to be like a church service. We're just practicing down here a little bit. And sometimes we get it right and sometimes we don't. But you better bet I'm going to express an enthusiastic joy in God, down here and up there too, because of everything God gave me. This joy in heaven, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And if the world didn't give it, the world cannot take it away. So I'm going to express my joy to the person who gave me that joy. I'm going to express my love to the person who gave me love. That longing in our hearts for love, for something more, that's homesickness for God. And setting our hearts on God turns on within us a homing beacon that will not be satisfied until we find God, and worship brings us home. Setting ourselves on the path to seek God, gathering together in a sacred space, makes us happy. Now, I don't know about you, but I am not going to let a rock talk for me, or a bird, or a mountain, or a tree speak for me. I'm going to express my praise to God in song and word and action and dance. Am I going to dance? Am I? Okay, so we're going to stand up right now. And will you join me? Now, this is not our custom, but we are going to express some praise to God outwardly, maybe in a way. I know our hearts express praise to God. I know that in our prayers, in our minds, we express praise to God. But we're going to give a little praise shout out, if that okay with you. All right, so Lord, praise you. Just give them a little whoop and a holler. Woo! All right, Lord. Yes, God. Yes, God. Woo! Praise you. But we got to do a little like this. Well, that's as far as I can dance, really. I can't dance anymore. But yes, Lord, listen to the praises of your people. And now we'll bow our heads and do something that we are used to doing. Let's just say one word of praise to God. Think of who he is, not who he is not, not how people make him out to be, but who he is, as scripture tells us. And call out a word or a phrase of praise in God and lead us in that praise. Refuge, faithful, beautiful. Thank you. Everything. Savior. Love. Oh, yes. Jireh. Amen. Amen. We praise you, God. We praise you with our lips. We praise you with our heart. We praise you with all our strength, God, because you have given us that strength. We praise you today because you are wonderful, and we praise you because we can be in your presence. We praise you for all of your assurances, all of your love, all of your help. In Jesus' name, amen.